Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the show, everybody. My name is Colin Stewart. I'm your co-host today. Today, I'm joined by another founder, and he's going to talk to us about how he's helping his company grow 10% month over month by using outbound sales and trigger events. Everybody, welcome Tukan Daz, the founder of LeadSift, to the show.
Hey, Colin. Hey, thank you.
Thanks, man. So tell me about, let's jump right in here.
Sure.
You're getting some pretty awesome response rates, and not just overall response rates, but positive response rates using these trigger events. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So the whole idea at our company, we rely heavily on outbound prospecting and outbound marketing. And the reason we do that is because we don't have a ton of inbound traffic coming in. There are leads coming in. So we had to sort of rely on outbound. And when we looked at doing outbound prospecting, it was very much, when we did research, and it was very much a static list building type approach where, you know, you'd go to a tool. There are a bunch of different tools, right? Or you go to LinkedIn where you slice by company size, industry, and job title, get their contact details, go to LinkedIn, look at the profile, build a list, and then, you know, cold call or email. We were doing it ourselves, that thing. But the problem was, what we found was, just because someone had a specific job title at a target company didn't always mean they were interested in our business or sort of in the buying journey at that moment. So as a result, these busy people, they don't get back to you. And the other thing is, everyone else is using the same way of generating lists. So they're probably hitting them with the same message at the same time or a different time. So we looked at ways of, you know, figuring out other ways of choosing accounts and contacts to go after. And that's when we started looking into the whole trigger event idea. And we have been experimenting with it for 18 months now. And it's been really successful. And we use a combination of different, you know, trigger events, and we're always adding new events. But like, for example, one of the big ones in B2B, at least for us, is anytime we see a potential prospect talking to a competitor anywhere on a public forum, that's a signal for us saying no. And if they happen to be in our ideal customer profile, that's great. I would like to get in front of them.
I love the idea of like monitoring the general internet as a whole. Well, maybe not as a whole, but, you know, using the internet and all the social medias and all that to make your outreach more relevant. I think we've all been on the end of like sending emails, and we're like, it's probably the same email that everybody else is sending. And, you know, you get an okay response rate, but when you really break it down, it's not, you know, an overwhelmingly positive response rate.
That's correct.
You know, I got a 30% response rate, but like every one of those people was telling me to like, please unsubscribe. It's like,
that is correct. Yeah. So that's why when I look at response rate, it's tricky, right? We have heard companies, and I've spoken to people where they're like, you know, we get a 12% response rate, and I'm like, oh wow, that's really high. But then when you dig deep, they're like, please unsubscribe or take me off your list. So there might be a definition response versus positive response rate. We call them hand raisers. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah. We look at positive responses as well. And some people look at, when you're talking about positive response rate, like what does that mean? Is that the percentage of all emails that turn positive? Is that the percentage of people that you emailed that turn positive? Mm-hmm. You know, like what do those look like? And your numbers can go from looking like crap to looking like very quickly just by reframing.
Oh yeah.
So what are we talking about in your case?
We see on an average about 4 to 5% of people having a positive response rate. And by response rate, I mean if we send 100 total emails to 100 unique people, 4 to 5 of them will raise their hands and ask to learn more or book a meeting. So that's what we mean by response rate, positive response rate at least.
Gotcha. And so, I mean, we've had a bunch of companies on here and a bunch of guests on here talking about, you know, how they get, you know, 20% response rates and things like that. Like if you're curious, I think Ryan O'Hara from LeadIQ had a really great one. That guy is like super talented. And really funny, loves the 80s and the 90s, good taste in music. So we talk a lot about that in the podcast and how he incorporates those tastes into his email outreach. We've also had, you know, Terrence Kwok from Vidyard on here talking about how they use video. And then Andrew Gazdecki talking about how they use GIFs. But all of these methods, it's so time consuming. I mean, recording this podcast alone, this is like an hour out of my day. There's no way I could do this for 100 prospects a day, or even, you know, 10 prospects a day. I'd never see my family. So I imagine you guys are getting great. I know you guys are getting great response rates.
Yeah.
You're not spending 10 hours a day recording video. So like, tell me your secrets.
I mean, the biggest secret, what we found out was anytime you talk about outbound prospecting, right? Anyone who's sending some kind of cold prospect, whether it's via email, phone call, social, however they're prospecting, it's still very much based on a buyer persona that a marketer has defined, or their CEO have defined, or somehow they have defined that.
Or nobody defined. Somebody who's just clicking around.
Possible, right? Or they have looked at which clients, and some of them use proper science where they have like, we have won accounts in this industry, so let's go deep in this industry or this vertical, which are all great, but they're very much still static. The way we look at it is it has been working, and it possibly can work, but it's getting saturated, and everyone is doing that. So for us, the approach we take is, how about we look at some signals that indicate these people might be potentially interested in buying or you know, interesting learning more about this topic. They're either in the, you know, lower end of the funnel where they're in the buying mode, or they're starting exploratory search, being keen about it. How can you find that out? Now, the tricky thing in B2B is people don't actually go on any public forum or anywhere and say, hey, I need a new, you know, marketing automation system or a new web server infrastructure. No one talks about it, right? So the trick is, how can you find out these latent signals, if you may, of intent or interest by looking at the internet as a whole. So that's really our secret. That's what we try to do when we try to figure out who is looking for a product like ours. And we use a whole combination of different signals. As I mentioned, one of them is looking at competitors.
Before we jump in, because we're going to go deep into, we've got a variety of these different triggers.
I'm just
hoping people, you know, they perk up and they listen just a little bit here, because one of the challenges that I think a lot of companies have with outbound initially is the fact that the leads feel, or the meetings, the whatever you want to call them, feel different than inbound, right?
Yeah,
and, they are. They're totally different.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest challenges is with inbound, there's motivation, right? They're motivated, but they're not necessarily qualified.
Yeah.
Whereas with outbound, you can sort of set your qualification criteria and say, I'm only going to email companies that I think are qualified.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the bottom half, you don't know if they're motivated.
That's correct.
And this sort of solves, this sort of trigger-based approach solves that by saying, you know, it's not going to solve it entirely, but it's going to get you one step closer to almost being an inbound lead, because you're finding people that are actively thinking about it instead of just the right person at the right type of company with no pain.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Awesome. Just wanted to restate. I know you've said that already, but sometimes it just needs to be said a couple times so people pick up. If you're walking to work and
because that is the key. This is the most important thing in that comment that you made is with regards to prospecting is flipping the model, and you define your ideal customer profile, the qualified companies or buyer persona. From there on, you're trying to figure out who would have a probability of, you know, buying or learning more about my solution. That's what. If you think about it from a technical perspective, it is sort of like a classification problem where you're trying to classify which company, given this time, would be interested in this product. So,
Really like it, man.
Thanks.
So before we jump into each individual mm-hmm. trigger,
yeah.
You've got some, you're going to screen share a little bit later on in the yep. episode, right?
Yeah.
So if you're driving, please don't watch the video. But you know, maybe find us on YouTube, yeah. subscribe, check it out there. Cause Toucan's going to share his screen. He's going to actually walk us through how he gathers some of these signals. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about, you know, how you do it manually. And if you're lazy and you want to part with some cash, you can always look up what Toucan does and probably find a way to spend a little bit of money and get a really good result. But we're going to talk about how you can do all of these manually without any tools. Well, without any paid tools. I think with the one we might use is, we're going to look at HubSpot.
Hootsuite.
Hootsuite.
But the free version will work.
Perfect. So yeah. Shoestring Budget Edition, how to go through some of these trigger events.
Yeah.
So you've already mentioned talking to a competitor. How do you find, like, walk me through the process of how are you looking for these conversations?
Yeah. So at the very beginning, it starts off by defining two things. One, who are your competitors? And also complementary companies, mm-hmm. companies that are not direct competitors, but sort of complement your solution. So first you need a list of those companies. Can be 5, 10, 20, whatever the space number is. So that's one. Second, what you need to do is you need to define what are key industry topics and terms relevant to that. Like, what are people creating content about that you want to track? So you would define that. And then there's a broad variety of ways. So first is, as you mentioned, social media, like social networks could be a great source for capturing that. Twitter, LinkedIn. Maybe Facebook too are possible. Some great sources of capturing the data. Blogs, forums would be great. So let's say to give an example, let's say you're selling a marketing automation software, right? So in that case, let's say your top competitor is Marketo, HubSpot, and Pardot, maybe, right? The top three.
Isn't it pronounced Pardot in Canada?
Is it maybe? I don't know. I'm not Canadian enough, I guess.
Wrong part of Canada, I guess.
Wrong part. Yes, exactly. For example, so you come up with these competitors, and you go to Twitter or you go to Hootsuite, as I mentioned, and I guess we'll share my screen and show it there. So you go in and you just type in the word Marketo in there, and get a stream of people that are talking about Marketo or HubSpot or Pardot or any of them. Look at that stream of people having conversations in real time right now. You can go over them and see which people fit your buyer persona. Meaning, is there a VP of marketing talking about Marketo? Or is there a VP of marketing talking about HubSpot inbound conference that they're planning to go? That's a great signal for you saying, all right, the VP of marketing is now talking about Marketo or HubSpot. I don't know if they're going to buy a new marketing automation software, but at least this is top of mind for them. Rather than going after every single, just because if you search on Google, or not Google, on LinkedIn for VPs of marketing, there's probably, I don't know, 80,000 VP of marketing out there in North America. You're not going to go after all of them, but you might get a list of 20 or 30 that are in your buyer persona and are actively thinking about marketing automation. So chances of them talking back to you, engaging with your outreach, whether it's on social or email or cold call, is a lot higher. So that's one very easy way to build your list, by tracking competitors. So it's not, you don't need a lot of proprietary or secret technology. You can do it. It's a little bit of manual work, but you can get started with some basic free tools.
Perfect. And so beyond tracking or listening for mentions of competitors and comparables, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what else can people watch out for?
So one thing is, so pretty much every one of your competitor in every industry will have a social profile, right? Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, maybe Instagram, YouTube, all of those. Go to their social accounts, look at who they're following, who's following them. Go through that follower list. You can manually go through them. Maybe do it once a month. You don't need to every day. Go through it and see if any there's a new VPs of marketing that have connected with them, or any buyer persona that have connected with them. So that's a great way of figuring out, all right, these people are not talking to them, but they're following them or they're consuming their content, there's a chance that, you know, these guys are prying. They already know about marketing automation. They're aware of it. They might be looking for my solution and it might be a good timing. So let me get in front of them. So that's one way. The other way is find out the key executives of your competitors. So find out who's the VP of sales, the CEO, the CMO of your competitor, and see who's engaging or talking to them on public social channels. So if you see, you know, let's take the example of Marketo. So if you see someone talking to the head of sales of Marketo online anywhere, and that person happens to be head of marketing at another startup that you can potentially sell to, that's a good signal for you to say, probably I should reach out to that company, their CEO and their head of marketing. Because the fact that talking to the VP of sales, this is top of mind for them. Let me try it, right? So that would be one great way. Again, this is all focused around competitive engagement, specifically as a signal. Mm-hmm. There are a few other signals. So for example, another way is, as I mentioned, you need to know your competitors and you need to know your industry, right? You always have you know, key topics and events around your industry. So let's say you choose in your industry, account-based marketing is a big term for you that everyone is talking about, right? So go to Hootsuite and type in the word ABM or account-based marketing and see who are the people that are actively taking part in those conversations. Now, one thing you will notice, I will warn it, a lot of the people that are talking about ABM or account-based marketing or any specific topic that you are interested in are actually practitioners and vendors themselves. So if I have an account-based marketing solution,
I'm shocked.
I know it is surprising. Eh? But a lot of them are actually vendors that are talking about it as they should. But I would say roughly, again, there is no fixed number. 1 out of 10 are actually not vendors, but rather prospects that are taking part in those discussions. That 1 out of 10, that's 10%, is the one that you need to pick up and go after. Because they are actively, the fact that they're talking about it, researching on it, means this is a priority. They're thinking about it. So why not go after them? So that's one way of building your target list to go after.
Perfect.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But before we pivot into how do I do this, are there any other sort of trigger events that I should keep in mind?
Job changes. So job changes are a massive trigger event. And there's quite a bit of data where they say, you know, a new VP who's hired makes $1 million worth of buying decision within the first 30 days of their hiring. So that's a pretty impressive and big number. And it makes sense, right? You hire a new VP of marketing or VP of product or something. Very rarely do you see them coming in and saying, yeah, we'll keep it as it is. Never happens. Most of the time they change some things up because, you know, maybe they used a tool from past work or something like that. They want to change things up. They want to make a difference. So that would be a great signal for you to go after, saying, give me a list of companies or research and find companies that have had a new VP of hire. Or on the flip side, let's say you are selling a security software, right? Cybersecurity software. Look into job boards, right? You can use Indeed or even LinkedIn actually, and say, give me a list of companies that are hiring a head of security or a security analyst. That's a good signal, because if they're hiring a head of security, chances are they are looking, they have put a priority on it. And if your software solves, you know, online fraud or online risk and those kind of things, that's a perfect opportunity for you to go after them. So that's another signal. Third is events. So, you know, you spend big money in attending industry events, Dreamforce and the whole lot. So people who go to events, so if I'm going to, let's say, a customer success specific event that Gainsight organized, chances are either I am a Gainsight customer or I'm very interested in learning more about customer success. So this is top of mind for me. So if you could figure out who are the people that are going to be attending an industry event, and you reach out to them saying, hey, you know, I know you are going to gain this industry event, or or you don't even have to mention it. You go in with your pitch about your customer success solution, knowing that this is top of mind because otherwise they would not have bothered going to an industry event. That's a very timely intervention and interception, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there's a whole other episode we could do on that. We've done a couple, but the one we did most recently, Yusuf Khatib from VanHack, they used that to book 60 meetings at their last, the conference they went to last.
There you go.
Without sponsoring the conference.
Yeah, that's the best part. You don't need a booth. You don't need a booth. If you can figure out a way to identify the people that are likely to be going that fit your buyer persona, reach out to them, the chance of you having the meeting doubles up actually.
Yeah.
So that's a great way. The other thing, going more technical, it might not be applicable to everyone, GitHub. So if you're using, if you have a developer product, right? And if there are any open source solutions, and see who are the people that are following that repo, right? People who have starred them, who are following them. Look where they work. Look at their job title. That might be your in. So if you see someone is following a competitor of yours, their open source project, or if they are, following a complementary technologies open source project on GitHub, that's a great signal for you to say, all right, they're interested in this stuff. This is definitely a priority for them. And if that person happens to be in a senior role, great. If not, you can start from the bottom. You can talk to them and they might, bring you in to the decision maker. So that's another great source of figuring out which companies to go after.
Perfect. Any more before we pivot into how?
There are probably a few more that I'm missing out. One interesting one is would be RFPs. Again, it probably doesn't apply to everyone, but there are some public RFP databases mm-hmm. that you can go. You don't have to pay for it, and you can just sign for. You can just search for it. You can search for the different RFPs that are happening, and you can get a list of companies that have an RFP out for a new accounting software or a new infrastructure software. And then from there, that's your lead. And if you sell that software or service, you reach out to them. So.
Even if you're not necessarily bidding on those, right? Like if you're selling an adjacent service, I think those could be really, really
100%,
beneficial.
100%.
As a guy who spent more time than I'd like to admit chasing RFPs with a lot less success than I'd like to admit. Chasing RFPs, in my opinion, isn't always sales, at least the way that I was doing it. It wasn't sales, right? It was like searching on the internet, downloading some documents, and then like getting somebody to submit a quote. It was sort of like I was almost an order taker, but I wore the title of a salesperson because you're not talking to anybody. You're just downloading papers.
Were you doing it at your last job at Carb?
No, a couple of jobs ago.
Got it. Yeah.
I used to sell hardware.
Oh, wow.
Big clunky hardware that, kept power running. So,
but think about it. Rather than just filling in the RFP, what if you reached out to the VP of sales or VP of IT or whoever that at the company that posted the RFP, you might have a better chance or better insight into what the processes are, even winning the deal. So
that's exactly what we ended up doing. Is I would look for companies that were trying to sell like diesel generators or buy diesel generators.
Yeah.
And we also sold them, but we also rented them. And so I would use that to find, hey, is your gen down right now? Are you guys going to need something in the transition? And we got a ton of business that way.
Nice. So that makes perfect.
Yeah. Yes. We use those as like a signal for like selling other related services.
Yeah. So that's a big shift from selling diesel generators to predictable revenue, man.
The very, very short story is, I was tired of selling hardware with very, very small margins. And I'd always wanted to start my company, my own company. And I was just tired of helping. I've been hired a couple of times to help companies get from, one to a couple million or a couple million to a couple more million.
Yeah.
And I was tired of doing it for other people and I wanted to do it for myself. And then it was one of my strengths. And so when we sort of started this company, that's what we ended up, kind of building
around. That is great. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So let's make an interesting segue into, sure. You know, it's great to talk about, you know, all of these triggers. How am I supposed to find all these? It sounds like a ton of work.
Yeah. Well, we can, I guess I can share my screen and show you some tactical tips.
Let's do it.
Do you need to make me?
Nope. There's a little green button at the bottom of your screen.
Share screen.
Yeah. It's Got hidden it. Right in plain sight as soon as you move your mouse.
I see it. I just need to find out.
For those of you that are listening right now, now is the time to transition to YouTube and check us out there. Should be the same name as the podcast itself. Just search us. You know, we're under Predictable Revenue Podcast. We've got our own channel. We put the episodes, we put highlights up there. And you can see Toucan's whole screen and follow along as he's going to walk us through exactly how he creates some of these for absolutely free.
Yeah. Cool. So do you see a Hootsuite screen?
Got it.
Perfect. So I have, I'll go through a few of the different ways we can use, you know, free tools to generate leads. Okay. Perfect. And if something's not clear, sometimes I tend to go too fast. Just stop and ask me. Okay.
Perfect. Thanks.
So this is a Hootsuite dashboard and this is free. So you can sign up for Hootsuite and you get access to this. What you see here is this is a stream of leads, stream of tweets actually. So this is I'm tracking the keyword Marketo in here, and these are all the people that have been talking about Marketo on public forums in the last 30 minutes. You can look into each one of them and see if these are relevant people to go. So for example, and here's the trick. Obviously, as I mentioned, you know, if there is 100 conversations, 90 of them probably will be not relevant to you. That's a reality, unfortunate. But 10 of them are worthwhile. So especially if you're running this on a shoestring budget, it's totally worth it. So just like scrolling down here, these are the people that have engaged with them. So I can click on any one of them, and see their profile. I can see who they are quickly just from the profile. I probably do not have a lot of context on this, so I'll skip. And they don't have, like, their bio doesn't seem interesting, so I'll move on from this one. Let me cancel this. I go down. So this is a good one. So oops, yeah, it refreshed. So this person is talking about, you know, they're going to Marketo user group December event. That's a pretty good signal for me to say, and this guy is a Marketo user. And if your software is selling tools complementary to Marketo or any marketing automation, John would be a great guy for you to go prospect. So this is someone that I would then, you know, research further. I will click on their profile. I'll see where John works. It looks like he works in marketing automation. He has a link to his Twitter, his website. So I can click on the website. I'm not sure. So he works at this company called Social Marketing Technologies. This is where he works. You can click on about, and he is the...
Looks like the man in the picture.
He is. He's the owner of this company. So
if you... Wouldn't that be hilarious if John was listening to the podcast?
That would be funny, right?
Yeah.
I hope he does. And he will get probably people trying to sell him Marketo solutions now.
We should start tweeting at him, yeah.
There you go. So you can then now go after John. So that's one easy way. I shouldn't say easy, but that's an example of you finding a lead and going after them.
I feel like the trick here is not just to like filter for all of Marketo, but to try and find more like deeper relevant filters to go from all of the conversations about Marketo and filter it down to the, you know, the 10 of the 10,000 that you're going to look at. You know, these are the 10 that I'm going to look at.
Absolutely. Today. Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. So I'll give you a classic example. So here I'm tracking for a keyword, account-based marketing, for example. So this is something that might be relevant in your industry. So I'm getting a list of people. I keep going down. So I see Kevin, who is an account-based marketing practitioner. He's talking about, you know, he's sharing some content from B2C community about sales and ABM. So if I have an ABM solution, I would look Kevin up. You can see he works at this company called Creation Agency. they're selling, you know, ABM, big data, and all those things. So he would be a great person for me to go reach out to. And I can reach out to him on Twitter. I can follow him, or I can send him an email and say, hey, you know, you can refer to this article, or you can talk about your ABM solution, knowing this is top of mind for them, because 43 minutes ago, he was talking about this. He was sharing this with the world. So this might be a good thing. He might be looking for ABM solutions for himself or his clients. So that's a perfect example of you prospecting, right? So that's another way. I know I talked about following people on Twitter. So let me open up Twitter and let's do this. So let's say, you know, you're selling to Marketo. So let me open my Twitter and let's search for Marketo. So I go, and my computer is pretty sluggish, or Twitter is, either one of them.
Yeah. Anytime you're screen sharing on Zoom, it does tend to slow down a little bit.
Fair enough. Yeah. So let's say I see Marketo. So I go to their profile. One simple thing that I can do is, so this is great. So there's about 47,000 people that that Marketo is following. There's 151,000 people that is following Marketo. Now, obviously, not all of them are fit for you or can be your customers, or maybe they can. But what you can do is, one simple exercise is you can click on this, and then what you can do is you can look at the people that Marketo started following. So classic example, the person that Marketo recently started following is this person who's a director of marketing and communications at this organization. Boom. So you have this person's name, you know their title, and you know where they work. That's a perfect person for you. There's a lead for you. If you're selling a marketing automation or communication solution, you have a lead for you to go after. The reason that they're recently started following Marketo is that indication, meaning they're either working with Marketo or planning to do research. That's perfect for you to go after. And again, you can go after every one of them and see which kind of companies and people from there to prospect. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So that's one way of, you know, getting leads via competitive engagement. So that's that. Let me show you something interesting. The events, and we talked about that, is how you can reach out to people that are attending specific events without even sponsoring and paying $20,000 to sponsor a booth or something. So let's look at this. I put in this event because I was recently looking at it. So Social Media Week is a pretty big conference. It's very much focused to people that are selling, you know, social media to brands and stuff like that. So companies like, you know, a Spreadfast or Sprinklr or Crimson Hexagon or Brandwatch, they would all care about this. They'll all be going to this. So one of the things you can do is and Social Media Week London, there's an event happening right now. So, and their hashtag is SMW London. Typically all events have their own hashtag. So you can go in on Twitter, or you can even search in Hootsuite itself. Or if you don't want to sign up for Hootsuite, you can just put in the hashtag here. And you can see a bunch of tweets that are coming about this event. And in this case, they're all, if you see here, all of them are actually from Social Media Week London. So that's not a best example of lead generation here. But then there might be people that are talking about it that are not Social Media Week London. There are people that are going there. So yeah. Let me try this. Dreamforce.
There you go.
Yeah. So Dreamforce's event, I think, was DF17. So let's look at who are the people that are talking about Dreamforce 17. Let's look at the most recent tweets. And here is a list of people that have been recently talking to or about Dreamforce. These are all people that were either gone there or were planning to go. Some of them might be Salesforce employees themselves, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's something that you have to filter through, unfortunately, if you're doing it manually. But there will be a lot of people that are not Salesforce employees, and that would be someone that would be great. So, for example, Blair. I don't know if Blair is works at Salesforce, but she works with, you know, contact center industry analyst, and she's a big fan of social media software. So you would probably want to further research into Blair. And if you're selling a social media software in this case, Blair would be a great person to go after. Michael Litt. Michael is the CEO of Vidyard. So you know Michael was there at Dreamforce. that's a great in for you. If you had to book a meeting with him, you could have reached out to him earlier and say, hey, can I have a chat with you for your sales solution or marketing solution or, you know, email solution, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. So that's another way of, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, the week after the event. It could be, you know, next year, call it summer, you know, absolutely, leading up to Dreamforce.
Absolutely.
What you're saying is you can go look at DF17, the hashtag, and see who went last year and then try and re-engage him. Hey, you're going back
totally,
this year.
Totally. Absolutely. Very cool. Yes. Yeah. So that's one way. So those are a couple of social media type ways. The other thing that you can do is, thank you. The other thing that you can do is, oops, somehow it doesn't let me. Okay. Here is Google Alerts. So I guess everyone is pretty familiar with Google Alerts. It basically scours the public web. I don't think they include social media, but more blogs and forums and those kind of channels. And you can search for a keyword. So for example, you can set up the stream social selling, for example, and it'll search, you know, only English language conversations in any region, and it'll send me an email. And I can say, I don't know, I'm blanking out. Let's say online fraud, for example. So if you have security software, you can say, anytime someone is talking or any discussions happening about online fraud anywhere on the public side of the web that Google's picking up, send me as it happens in real time, and you update alert, and that's it. That's your online alert that you have set up. And anytime that happens, either it can send a summary once a day, or in real time, you'll get a notification, which might get annoying depending on the volume. But that's another great way for you keeping up with conversations that are happening online. So that's another way. I'll show you guys a couple more. This is a pretty powerful one, jobs. So let's look at this. So for example, this is something that we would use ourselves. So we care about talking to people that are hiring. Demand generation is a big title for us, right? Mm-hmm. We try to reach out to demand generation people, for example. So in LinkedIn, again, I believe this is free. So you can go in and you can say, give me a list of people that have posted a job about demand generation, that are hiring for demand generation people in the United States in the last 24 hours. So I have 200 people that are in here, and each one of these companies, Science Logic, was Burning Glass, Lucid Software. These are all great signals for me as the owner of LeadShift to go after and say that the fact that they're hiring demand generation, they might be interested in learning about new tools that the new demand generation manager can use. I can further filter by saying, you know, I only care about companies that are in computer software and information technology. I don't care about anything else. And that further filtered my list. I now have, how many companies do I have? 81 companies. Boom. So that's your list of 81 companies that you can then go after. You can go into LinkedIn and see who the right person is to go. So if it's a demand generation manager, you would want to talk to the VP of marketing or CMO, but it becomes very easy for you to figure out which companies to go after. Rather than every computer information technology and computer software company in the US, you're going after now 81 companies based on some signal, some kind of a trigger, right? Mm-hmm. So that's another one.
And it gives you a good reason. It's not just, you're not just sending another email template.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
saying, hey, I noticed you're hiring for a demand gen person.
Yeah.
It's just another step of personalization that showing
100%.
I didn't buy you a list on, you know, whatever list provider.
Yeah.
And like threw out my generic yeah. template at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that is it. You always have context when you're reaching out based on a signal. And the another one that I'll show you before I stop here. Is GitHub. So this might not be, relevant for everyone, but it would be very relevant for anybody that is selling to developers, right? An API or anything like that. So I chose Manifold, which is actually a great Nova Scotian company. So they recently launched, I think today, they launched this thing called an interface, like a plugin for command line, for fancier command line interface, interactive prompt for command line applications. And I see there is, you know, 1,000 people that are following this conversation. So I can click on them mm-hmm. and I can I can see who these people are that are, I can see, get a list of all these people that are following this open source software. So if I'm competing with this software, then I can go to this guy. I know he, Owen, he works at this company called Facing Front Software. Boom, this is my account, and this is the person that I can reach out to, because I know one of their employees is following this. So that's a great signal for me to go sell my solution or try to get in front of them. And then there's a whole bunch of other people, right? Someone from Discuss or VirtueStream, Logic Hub. So you can see how many leads I have here to go after. Again, you do have to do some manual cleaning, mm-hmm. but it's very easy for you to then go ahead and build a list.
And developers are traditionally, you know, in my opinion, some of the hardest people to reach without them just like deleting your email or sending you a spam or, you know, complaining.
But if you reach out to them via context, let's say if I reach out to this person, rather than saying, hey, Owen, buy my software. But if I reach out to them saying, hey, saw you were following this new, this repo on GitHub, I'd love to learn more about why you're using it. And by the way, this is what I do. Would this be of interest? That's a whole different dynamics when you're reaching out to developers, for example.
And it gives you like, it's their developer LinkedIn profile. Like you can look at this James Greenhill guy and like, hey, it looks like you like BoJack Horseman too.
You know, there you
blah,
go.
Blah, 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 blah.
There you go.
I see you're a contributor to this repo. Yeah. That's so many options. Oh, that's absolutely such a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love what you've done.
So yeah, you're welcome, man. Again, these are just some of the different ways that you can manually do it. But as you can see, the key thing is all of this is using public sources. You don't have to pay a cent to do it. Mm-hmm. Again, the challenge is it does, manually doing it takes a lot of time. You have to filter through some things, but it can be done. Basically, that's what I'm saying.
And it requires some experimentation to figure out which ones are the most relevant to you.
100%. Some channels would be better than others. Totally agree. Yeah.
Tukan, that was amazing. I know we went a little bit longer than we expected, but this was super valuable. And I hope everybody else, got, learned a lot as well. I've done a little bit of social selling, not nearly as much as you have. And I found it educational. So thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. No, thank you for giving me the opportunity to chat, man. This was great.
It was great to have you on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach out and say, hey, Tukan, that was amazing. Thank you.
Awesome. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Look me up, or you can send me an email at tdas@leadsif.com, or just go visit leadsif.com and you can get a lot of insights about what we were talking about today and learn more about it.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And everybody, I'd love if you could, say hello to Tukan if you found that this episode was valuable. Shoot him an email, say thanks. If you could do a favor for us, every time you go into YouTube, you hit subscribe, go into iTunes, rate us 5 stars. It helps us reach more people. If you could do one little thing, do Tukan's thing. But, if you're feeling ultra generous today, love it if you could help us out. Subscribe on iTunes and YouTube.
Awesome.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.